This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Give me a penny for puppy. You know, puppies grow up so fast. Now, are you as curious as, say, a cat as to how they grow, learn, and more? You're in a lot of luck today because our special guest just came out with a must-read book that many consider to be, drumroll, the book on puppies. It is called Puppy Brain, How Dogs Learn, Think, and Love. Please give pause and applause to our special guest, Carrie Nichols. Welcome to the show, Carrie.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Well, hey, Pet Pals, Carrie is about to unleash how she traded her career. She was a legal beagle, attorney, to becoming the founder of Nickelberry Goldens. And her mission is to raise the healthiest golden retrievers ever. I love that mission. And as you're about to find out, Carrie knows a lot about DOGs. So, Carrie, you ready to get started?
I am.
Boy, I got schooled in your book in a good way. Your book is very, 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 very comprehensive. I don't want to scare everybody, but I took some notes, but I want her to talk about her book. But let's dive in first. People are curious. You were an attorney and you said to yourself, I would rather pick up dog poop and groom hairy goldens. What made the transition for you?
It's like a big joke in our house. I'll say, the worst day, no matter how much puppy poo, is better than drafting interrogatories. So,
oh, that sounds so important, interrogatories.
You know, I'm a student. I love learning. I could go back to school for any degree and I would just enjoy it. So that part of the law was really fun for me. Research, doing trial prep. I really enjoyed all of that.
So you were a trial attorney. What was your area?
I worked with a trial attorney, business litigation. He was the guy that stood up in court. I did things behind the scenes. So it's not my natural position. I always joke, that I have an Instagram full of puppies and not full of me, because I'm not the one that wants to be in front of the camera.
How long were you practicing law?
I passed the bar. I graduated in 95 from law school. And then I think that I officially stopped doing anything legal related around 2003, 2004.
So did you like me calling you a legal beagle?
I actually did like that. I've never been called that. I might steal it.
You can have it. It's
okay. Thank you.
I think what you're showing and what our loyal pet pals for our show are finding out, we have to follow our passions. Like you, I spent 20 years as a newspaper reporter. I covered space shuttles, serial killers, Super Bowls, but my real heart was helping pets. And so I also transitioned. And is there any advice you can give people to follow your heart, follow your passion?
I think, it wasn't for me. I didn't say, I want to do this instead. I think that, and I've heard this recently, that you have to do this scary thing of closing the door on what you're currently doing before the next door opens. And that is for sure what happens for me, because I didn't know that Nickelberry Goldens was in the future. I just knew that I couldn't continue in the legal field. It was difficult for me to be in a part of things where there was a lot of conflict and it wasn't for me.
Yeah, well, and that's all right.
Yeah.
Once you get critical thinking skills and you learn how to read a noun and a verb when you're an attorney, right?
Oh, and the research skills, I really am grateful. I really feel like that's why I went through law school and working in the legal field, is it enabled me to become the kind of researcher. The book doesn't have any citations in the back. Puppy Brain doesn't, because my research document is a 33-page document.
And we couldn't,
We couldn't fit it all in there. And so it's off on a website that's referenced in the book. But that research, that love of research and the capacity to research and the ability to read challenging material was all skills that I learned as I was practicing law. So I think it's funny. We just never know how the current skills that we're honing are going to become really useful in a very different way.
I agree. So tell us a little bit about your love of Goldens. I mean, it's one of the most popular breeds, but get into that. Did you have a Golden as a kid? What's the connection?
Oh, yeah. Somebody asked me I was at Zibby's in Santa Monica last night. Somebody asked me that, and I said, look, when I was born with two things, Tommy Trojan in my crib and a Golden Retriever puppy. Like, my family, diehard USC Trojan fans and diehard Golden Retriever lovers. And my parents, the funny aside is I actually went to UCLA. And when my parents were driving
that me. That is kind of funny. USC to UCLA. Okay.
Yes. But when my parents were driving me down to move into my first apartment at UCLA, my dad saw a Golden Retriever and he was like, pulled the car over and, you know, had to get out and pet the Golden. That is just the way I was raised. They both are completely irrational about Golden Retrievers and produce children that are all the same.
So Nickel Berry, is that the right word for
yes.
your, like, tell us about that, because people need to know there are responsible breeders out there and there's a lot of people that love Golden Retrievers. And as we're going to dive in a little bit about your book, you really need to know a lot of things about a puppy and a breed and how to bring out the best health-wise.
Yeah, I think, you know, that has been a big surprise to me. I started my Instagram and I started posting about, I think probably early on, health clearances, because I am such an autodidact. And when I learn something, I feel like the information hurts me if I can't share it.
Wait a minute, you said a big word, autodidact. I've never seen that on a crossword puzzle.
Self-learner, you know, self-taught.
Yeah.
And I can't ever really learn enough. I just always want to know more. And understanding, I just felt like if I was going to purposefully bring puppies into this world, I owed it to the puppies to get to be as healthy as they could be and live healthy lives. And I owed it to the human beings who are trusting me to give them a puppy that I've done everything I can that will then be a healthy dog. And so that's an ethic that should be present in anybody who intentionally pairs dogs, period. And if they don't, then they shouldn't be breeding them. I mean, I'm really hardcore about that.
Well, and Pet Pals, she demonstrates that in her dedication of the book, Puppy Brain. She writes, "To the hundreds of puppies I've raised, it has been an honor to be the first voice you've heard, the first hands you licked, the first human you loved. Thank you for trusting me." That's a pretty powerful dedication.
Thank you. That almost makes me cry when you read it. I really feel it. I really feel it. I really feel it's such an honor that I get to be the impressionable human being that they form their first experiences with.
Now, you may laugh, but I've written a number of books myself, and I always just tell my folks that we call the first year of a puppy's life the wonder year. You wonder where your sanity goes.
Yeah, that's true.
We've got an expert in the house, the author of Puppy Brain, Carrie. You've got fast growing, physically, mentally, a pack of pups. What do you think about the wonder year?
I think that people should really be prepared to be completely exhausted.
Okay.
But I will say this. I do think that if you're really ready and you've really prepared, I mean, this is why I had to write the book, because I needed to be able, I have with the families that take our puppies home, they got all this content over the last 15 years from me.
Okay.
And the book, you know, really that's a big part of it is getting prepared so that you don't have any surprises at home, like not having proper management, not having an area where a puppy can be. Just having a dedicated puppy zone can take away so much of the stress of that first year. It really can. And then if, you know, you lay some great foundations, mostly that your puppy learns to be safe with you, because it's all about attachment in those really, really baby puppy weeks, then everything else goes so much more smoothly from there. So I think it's a lot. I mean, you know, I never want to like short sell how much work those early puppy weeks are. But if you lay a really strong foundation, it can be better than the horror stories.
I like that. Hey, everyone, we're speaking with Carrie Nichols. She's the author of a book you need to get your paws on. It's called Puppy Brain. And we're going to dive in a little bit more, but you all know the drill. We got to take this break. So you'll love this, Carrie. Sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. All Behave will be right back.
What's up, pet pals? Arden Moore here, your host of the O Behave Show. Me? Wow. Did you know there's up to 100 million free roaming cats in the United States? And without spay or neuter, that number is only going to keep growing. Not only does spay neuter humanely reduce the community cat population, it keeps cats healthy. Scooter, the neuter cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Hey, check them out. Go to givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org and help us make this a better world for cats.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. All Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now, back to your fetching host, America's Pet Edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the All Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're talking with Carrie Nichols, former attorney turned golden retriever advocate extraordinaire. And I believe, is this your first book that you've written?
It is.
That is magical. Everyone, it is called Puppy Brain. How dogs, say it for me, say the subtitle.
How Our Dogs Learn, Think, and Love.
And it's over 200 pages. She has some citations because she's a former attorney. And it isn't just a cute puppy book. I love how the book is organized. And the other thing, everyone, is she's already garnered praise from some top dogs in the pet world. Many of them who are my friends and who have been on our show. Dr. Karen Becker, I love this. She says, this book shows you how to prepare for a successful first year, building a rock solid foundation that will last a lifetime. Oh my gosh. Bruce Christensen, he's pretty awesome. He says that you combine an understanding of behavioral and development science with practical experience into a philosophy and method of establishing a strong functional bond with your canine companion. He needs to shorten his sentences, but the words are awesome. And a really special friend of mine, Dr. Lisa Littman, she, believe it or not, we've been friends 15 years, and I've seen her go from San Diego to New York and beyond. She's pretty amazing. She's a celebrity veterinarian and the co-founder of Pet Loss Community. And I love it. She says, Puppy Brain is a must read for anyone wanting a healthy and fulfilling relationship with their dog. You reached out to the big dogs to have them take a peek at your book. And that's impressive.
Yeah. And I feel tremendously honored. I have so much respect for them. They've all taught me so much. And quite frankly, there were chapters that I didn't feel comfortable just writing and then publishing. I felt like I needed to have them peer reviewed, like the spay and neuter chapter. Dr. Christensen was kind enough. And then Dr. Danny McVetti on the, the loss chapter, because she's the founder of Lap of Love. And so I've just been very, very grateful for the people who were kind enough to read it and endorse it. It's been amazing.
All right. I want to dive in because you get the magic of seeing them come out of the womb from mama dog. But most people don't really get a puppy. They recommend usually, 10 to 12 weeks. Sometimes people get puppies a little sooner. In your book, you mentioned there's two fear periods and all that. But can you put us right there with the first couple of weeks of a puppy that might surprise people about when they see, when they smell, what's going on in their noodle?
Yeah. Well, not much is going on in that noodle. Because when they're born, their brain is actually just mostly water. And it's astonishing the way that the brain develops and how fast it develops. So when they're born, they're altricial, which means that they're not fully developed. They have sealed, people will say, oh, they're blind and deaf. Well, they have sealed eyes. They have sealed ear canals. And that's to protect those mechanisms that are not fully formed yet. They can't regulate their body temperature. That's why mom is so important, because she provides warmth. They can't walk. I marvel that even though they can't do any of that, they can make their way. I call it the milk bar. They can make their way
to the milk bar. The milk bar. Well, you came up with a word. You're big on words, big words. I'm going to mess it up. Synaptogenesis?
Synaptogenesis.
Oh, say it. Snap it. What does that mean in plain English?
I'm just basically talking about the way that the brain develops synaptic connections. And, you know, obviously I'm not a neuroscientist. I'm a lawyer that makes big disclaimers too. And I hope that my disclaimer was clear that, you know, I'm trying to grapple with some really complicated concepts and make them readable. And so at the bottom line is that those little brains between birth and around 14 weeks are, they are creating all sorts of new connections, forming trillions of synapses. That continues. It's not like the brain stops creating new connections after a puppy reaches 14 weeks of age. Just the way that they learn is different. And the parts of the brain that are being formed, you know, where memories are being stored and made, changes some. But they are just in those early weeks, they are such soft clay. And we have so much.
Oh, I like that. You painted out in the book that a 14-day-year-old puppy doesn't really know you're around. Mm-mm. But you double that to 28, and the puppies finally are aware of humans. Talk about that, because that's important.
Yeah, I would say, you know, at 2 weeks of age, maybe their eyes have unsealed, their ears are still sealed, they are still a neonate, the brain is still in a very, very early phase of development. And by 4 weeks of age, ears are unsealed, eyes are unsealed, they're barking, they're bumbling around like little bumper cars, like, you know, banging into each other, they're wobbling around like little drunken sailors.
I've dated a few, but keep going. Yeah.
Puppies or drunken sailors?
No puppies. Okay.
Yeah. But they're very, very aware. I mean, if I sit in that box when they're 4 weeks old, it is the most magical experience, because they just come over to me and they're sniff, sniff, sniff. You know, they're running across like our skin.
You smell different. You don't smell like mama.
Oh, yeah. And then they try and climb on you and they just nuzzle you. And it's just, they have such a bent already towards humans. It's extraordinary. And that's because they've become familiar with us, right? If we had not been there in their environment, then maybe they would not develop that kind of bond with us. But we do that really early on intentionally.
So let's zip a little forward, because you have a whole chapter called Days 50 to 56. Godspeed, little ones. And this is they got teeth now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
What's going on then? About six weeks.
5-6 weeks. They're very social. So at 4 weeks, if I walk in the puppy area and I say, hi, puppies. Everyone's heard me do that on Instagram a million times. They run around in circles and they can't figure out like where that sound's coming from. But by 6 weeks, those heads are up. The eyes are target locked on me. They know exactly, like as soon as they, you know, get a sense that I'm in the room, they're like trotting along their area, trying to get to me. They're extremely social at that point. Their teeth are fully emerged. And they are really beginning to need to chew, because it's such a canine thing. I mean, that is just instinctual. They just have to chew. So yeah, by 7 weeks, we're getting a lot of track marks on our hands.
So before we take a break, what are some things people can do? Because they do hurt. They do need to teeth. How do we save our skin and also help them develop proper, healthy chewing on safe items?
Well, I think this goes back to what I said earlier about having a puppy area.
Yes.
Just having that management. So they're not like, if they're right with you in your living room and there's not a place that they know is theirs, they're going to chew on you. They're going to chew on the couch. They're going to chew on the rug. This is what they will do. It's not a question of whether they will or not, because they need to. So then, because they're canines. And so instead of getting frustrated or angry with them, you know, if we give them an area that's theirs, and we help them relieve, I mean, their jaws are really like, they need to be able to get that relief of chewing. We can give them also at 8 weeks of age, you can start to use bully sticks and a bully stick holder.
And thank you for saying that, because the bully stick holder, everyone, is reducing the risk of pets dying from choking on objects. I'm a master instructor in pet first aid. And there's a veterinarians that have created a new holiday, June 22nd, which is Preventing Pet Choking Day. And thank you for talking about the holder for a bully stick.
It's really important. I wouldn't give a bully stick without one because they can, and it's such a choking hazard. I'm a big fan of these treat toys that you can fill. There's one that I reference a lot in the book called the Chili Penguin. And
yes.
You can fill it. You know, and you're satisfying it with those. It's really more about the need to lick and the need to chew. It's not, I mean, sometimes I'll give our dogs those when they are needing a meal. And sometimes I'll give them just to satisfy that need. Like if I know they're going to have, like right now, if I'm on a podcast, they need to be doing something. It's a great time to give them a frozen treat toy. They can lick and gnaw. And that's the same thing with
that a puppy. That helps their gums too when it's a little cooler, right?
Oh yeah, it really helps. It helps relieve that need. So that's our job as humans, is to help them relieve the need to chew rather than trying to stop it, because it's not stopping. It's, I mean, as an 8-week-old, you know, 10-week-old, 12-week-old puppy.
Grow up, young pup. Come on, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. We're speaking with Carrie Nichols. She's the author of a new book I want you to get. It is called Puppy Brain. And we're going to dive in a little bit more, but we got to take this break. So sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is Brandon McMillan, host of Lucky Dog on CBS. And I want to invite you all to listen to Arden Moore on the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. Trust me when I say it's good, good, good.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Arden Moore. We're speaking with Carrie Nichols. This is her first book, and is it a great one? She dove in to a book called Puppy Brain, and it's already reaching acclaim from very, very well-respected veterinarians and behaviorists and trainers all over the place. I like how you divided the book up into four parts. You have the developmental milestones. You talk about puppy preparations for us humans. And we talk about how you came to be from a lawyer to raising very healthy golden retrievers. And then the final section is just setting your puppy up for happiness. So you talked about having a designated puppy zone. And now you got goldens and they grow fast. So can you give us a few more ideas of how, if you either are having a litter, but let's go more with people adopting a litter, a puppy or two from you. Maybe the puppies are, what week do you recommend that people should really get a puppy and puppies ready to be saying bye-bye to mom?
I think that's super context dependent because it depends on the breed. It depends on the breeder. There's so much involved in that.
That's why I'm asking the question, because I knew you would not say one answer. But dive in, because this is really important, Carrie.
Yeah. So for us, because we have done so much for our puppies, by the time they're about 8 weeks old, I feel like it's a house of cards. Because they're doing things like, you know, even though I have the entire puppy zone set up and it's massive and they have all sorts of things to play with, at 8 weeks of brain age, that brain is changing and they want to be with me. And that's where they want to be.
Really?
So it's not that they want to be. Yeah, if they could choose to be with me or be with the siblings, they're going to climb out of that area and get to me. And there are many mornings where I come out and I will find a little puppy greeting me. You know, I walk down. Yeah, they're so proud. I walk out of my bedroom and I walk down the hallway and, you know, I'll see maybe like a little piddle and I'm like, uh-oh. You know, and no matter like how, because we do so many challenges for them to build that brain that no matter what I do, you know, they're determined to get out of there. They're ready for one human being. Our puppies, I'll just say, you know, my puppies are ready for one human being to begin doing things like taking them to the vet for like really positive pup, you know, vet experience.
Thank you. Yes. Yes.
I can't, you know, if I have 10 puppies, taking 10 puppies individually to the vet to go sit in the waiting room and have treats, that it's just not really very realistic. And so I want to get them into their homes, and I really set our families up. That's the entire book is what I've ever done with our families, so that they are ready to hit the ground running after the 3 days of decompression with their puppies. So I know a lot of small dogs need to go home later than that, for sure. And it just, I think, you know, it depends on the litter and it depends on the breeder.
No, I appreciate that because, you know, up until this book, really, I've read a lot of books. I've been in the business over 20 years. And we always say that puppies aren't born with a training manual. Mm-hmm. But I think puppy brain is pretty darn close to that because of your research, Miss Lawyer. Because you know how to research and you know how to get it vetted and approved by experts. And that's what people need. Don't you think there's been a void about really, really looking at the science and the development of puppies prior to your book? I'm not trying to set you up like the Moses of puppies, but you really are tackling this topic in not a cute way, but in a very deliberate, in-depth, researched manner.
Thank you. Yeah, I think there is a void. I also think we have an uphill battle because we were all raised with some really outdated, harmful methods. And turning that ship it's a lot. And I feel like as soon as people understand, oh, dominating my
give puppy. Us a couple of don'ts and then do's.
Okay. Just help. An example would be when I first started having dogs of my own as a young adult, I had gotten it in my head that I should show my puppy that either I'm the boss or that I'm safe and stick my hand in their bowl while they're eating. And right, and it's just the worst advice ever. It of course, they're canines. I mean, they're not human beings. They're canines.
And their most priceless asset next to their human is their food, not a car, not the house. So you're just taking their diamond rings.
Yes. And creating this threat. And I mean, I say it over and over again, our job is to help them feel safe. They need feel safe as baby puppies. And that right there doesn't make them feel safe. They think, oh, this person isn't to be trusted.
Yeah. And then the dog might be learning to inhale food, develop bloat.
Resource guarding.
I love that. All right. Yeah. What's another don't to a do? Because you're knocking it out.
I mean, this is super really old school, but people used to rub their puppies' noses in wherever they soiled. I mean, these are things that we did, right? But it's all dominance theory. It's all basically like, I'm the boss, you're my little soldier, and you're going to do what I tell you to do. And that's been, for me, like, you know, that chapter, First Train the Humans, it's about changing the way people think about canines and understanding we can have this unbelievably beautiful relationship with our dogs where there's mutuality and they're sentient beings who need us to see them as sentient beings. And that completely changes the way that we perceive them.
In that area, you also say learn to speak dog. And you've seen the coffee cups, you know, wag more, bark less, things like that. We think we're stellar at communications, but tell us why dogs maybe have a tail up on us.
Right, exactly. I think that's such a great example because we think, oh, they're wagging, they're happy. And in the world of dogs, a tail wag, I mean, first off, all dog communication has to be taken in context. You have to look at the entire situation. What are their ears doing? What's their mouth doing? Is it clenched? Is it happy? You know, is their body, the entire body loose and waggy? Or are they stiff with the tail up, which is an indication of I'm on alert. I am, you know, right? And they're considering what their next move is, but definitely aren't saying, come pet me with that behavior.
Yes, this is good. You get into the fun time, the teenage years.
Yeah.
And anybody that's raised a two-legged teenager, you have. What's the similarities between teenage puppies and teenagers?
Aren't they the same? I feel like maybe they're the same.
Except they're not borrowing the car keys, right?
Okay, there's that, yes. Huh. I mean, you know, a puppy's brain in adolescence is literally being reorganized. They are reorganizing information. They're responding to the way that hormones are changing in their body. That's such a great comparison, right? I mean, I would say, you know, I have my two youngest are boys. And when those hormones, you know, came online, things were different. And I could see you're like, I'm not taking it personal. What's going on with you? I'm not taking it personal because you're going through so much. Your body is going through so much and you're not actually in control of what you are doing. And I think with adolescent puppies, it's a lot of the same. I mean, an 8-week old will not leave your side. You have to watch out that you don't trample them. I mean, they want to be under your foot. And an adolescent puppy is looking to go mate. I mean, that's what's happening in their brain, right?
Put on a little Barry White, you know, get it going. I mean, you say the section is blame it on their brain and be patient. So a couple of tips for adolescents. Puppies.
I think that patience is the absolute like watchword for an adolescent. And also going back to the basics, I think a lot of people get frustrated that we already did this. You already know this. We already worked on this. You know, why are you not doing whatever it is that you like, for example, recall. If, you know, as a puppy, they would come running back. And now here we are with this adolescent who acts like they can't hear you.
Paw like, to the paw because the ears aren't listening. Yeah, yeah, that's right, right. But they're exploring, right? They're not being mean to you.
No.
They're trying to grow up.
Yeah, we have to not take that personal and then put them in a situation where they're going to have success. So a long line is such a valuable tool I think it's always a valuable tool, but in adolescence, rather than a puppy going away from you and you're calling them and they're ignoring you and the brain is getting it hardwired, wow. I can ignore. Wow. I don't need to listen. Rather than that, you are setting them up for success by practicing recalls and a really low.
Well, talk about the long line before we've got about a minute. So what do you give us a specific?
So long line, if they're not coming to you, you can walk to them. Not that you're not dragging them to you. You can get to them. They're not running away from you because they're on the long line.
You're walking to them.
You're key. Walking to them. Key. And then when they see you like, oh, hey, human, then you give a treat. And that actually reinforces, those are foundational for a recall.
Very nice. Years ago, I had a corgi, Pembroke, named Jazz, and he would come on cue for come. And I was younger, and I made a boo-boo. I said, get in here now, come, Jazz. I said, come. And he's like, paws up in the air, you know which one. And then I realized I just tainted the word come. So I would say, here, Jazz. And we were able to make that transition. So sometimes we are human. We make mistakes. So if come becomes a nasty four-letter word to a puppy, your advice?
Oh, I think what you just said. First off, you can choose a different word.
Yes.
They will respond to anything. I saw a video years ago where she said, bacon. And the dog came, you know, tearing over. Because basically you're creating an association between them responding to a certain cue and a treat. And so you could pick any word you want. But if a word gets tainted, I'd say pick a different word.
Okay.
And don't let that one get tainted.
All right. So we do want to talk a little bit about your, how do you call this? The Nickelberry, is it a farm? What is this place? Tell us a little bit about that. How, if people are interested in getting puppies that are from the author of Puppy Brain, how do they go about it?
That's becoming increasingly difficult. My wait lists have always been at least a year. So they can email me for sure. Because
okay.
At a minimum, I did put a chapter in Puppy Brain on researching breeders because I do get so many emails.
Well, there's others that you respect. I understand that.
And I will also help. I am really happy to help people find a healthy puppy. So I have so many people email me and say, I'm looking at this breeder. What do you think? And then I tell them what I think. And I show them how I go through that process with health clearances and the questions you can ask and all those things. But they can email me for sure.
Well, they also can go to your site. Is it your name, carrienichols.com/training? Is that the website you want?
It probably just carrienichols.com for the book. And then my Instagram is Nickelberry Goldens. And then my website is Nickelberry Goldens.
Why the Goldens? I mean, what's wrong with the Labrador or the French Bulldog?
I know. And let me tell you, as I get older, I think like, gosh, a smaller breed, you know, but I love them too much. I will always have a Golden.
Years ago, I had a Golden Retriever Husky mix.
Oh, gosh.
So I did a lot of vacuuming and Furminator brushing.
Yeah.
And she was from a rescue, a Golden Retriever rescue, but they allowed Chipper in because she had color by Golden, body by Husky. And the first day she's in my backyard, she leaped over my 6-foot fence, That's a husky.
Husky.
To Rome. Yep. She ran to my front door and pawed it.
Oh, gosh.
And that's the golden who wants to be home, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, explain that. What is it about the goldens, their personalities?
I know. And our golden, Rufus, does the same thing. If he accidentally gets out of the yard, he's like, well, I'm definitely not supposed to be out here. So then he runs around to the door. You know, they were bred to be, they were bred to retrieve waterfowl, but also to be a companion. And that is exactly what they are. They're affable, they're friendly, outgoing. Every human feels like their favorite human. I mean,
I like
you can have epic arguments because you will always feel like, I mean, I am Harper's favorite human, but.
Yeah. Well, yeah, do a shout out to Harper because you had a little checklist what you liked about Harper in the book, but tell everybody a little bit about Harper.
Oh, Harper girl. Harper girl. She's going to break all of the records for longevity. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen.
Middle name Methuselah.
Exactly. She is the quintessential golden. She absolutely, if she sees me put my shoes on, she's, oh, are we going for a walk? If she, you know, I turn on the car, she's ready to go jump in the back and go for an adventure. She wants to go swimming wherever there's water. She loves everybody. She's a therapy dog. Really, I have a joke on Instagram, hashtag Harper can do no wrong. And even though she does all sorts of things she shouldn't, well, that I'd prefer her not to do, she does them because she's a dog. She's really...
How old is she now?
She's 8.
Okay, cool. I hope she keeps going. What's something that might surprise people about you? Are you a secret chef? Did you win the lottery during this broadcast? I mean, what's something that might surprise people about Carrie Nichols?
I can't believe you just asked that because I was talking with my agent last week and I said this off the cuff and she said, what? You need to tell people that. I'm allergic to dogs.
What?
I know.
So you lots of Benadryl or what? What's going on?
I use lots of vacuuming. I vacuum like a beast. I mean, I really vacuum a lot. And I'm very careful about washing my hands. And I just make sure hair doesn't get anywhere near my face. And that's been manageable as an adult.
I did not know that. That's why I had this spidey sense I needed
it's
to
so
ask
great.
You that question. And how do people get their paws on your book, Puppy Brain? I love this book. And hey, everybody, it's very well organized. It's very vetted out, but it comes from the heart. Your heart beats, dog.
Hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, you know, any independent bookstores for sure. Go in and order at your independent bookstore anywhere that books are sold. I sound like a commercial. Anywhere that books are sold.
Hey, thank you so much for being a guest on our show and more importantly, helping goldens get off on the right paw. Carrie Nichols is the author of Puppy Brain. I want you to please check it out because, yes, it talks about goldens, but it talks about puppies, 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 puppies. And we need to know a little bit more about that. So are we ever going to do kitten brain?
probably not. Because, boy, I can't manage those allergies. I wish I could.
Yeah, I say that dogs with the D in drool, the O in obey, the G in goofy, and the S in seconds, please. But cats put the C in candid, the A in attitude, the T in tenacious, and wait for it, the S in so what?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're happy that we are with you, Carrie, and you are the author of Puppy Brain. Please check out her site. Go ahead, give the website again.
Okay, well, there's, of course, Nickelberry Goldens on Instagram, and then nickelberrygoldens.com or carrienichols.com.
All right, I love it. I love it. Hey, you all, this show has been on the air since 2007, when no one knew what a heck a podcast was. And I want to salute my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. We are the largest pet radio network on the planet. We're challenging the moon because no one's there yet. So we got to go do something about that. But it was kind of a big honor. FeedSpot named our show the number one 2023 best pet podcast. We didn't win a car, but we got that claim. I hope you all check out the other hosts on the other shows of Pet Life Radio. Oh, you got to check me out too, ardenmore.com. I'm supposed to promote myself. Sorry, Carrie, forget about this stuff. But I teach pet first aid. I'm a master instructor. Go to Pet First Aid for you. And check out my YouTube, Arden Moore. I finally monetized. I'm at $42.39 and rising. So don't be jealous, everyone. We have about 700 videos on there. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you two, three, and four-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.